Hey, welcome to RealLibertyMedia.com. I'm Vincent Easley. I'm here on Real Liberty Media Radio. You can find it with a .xyz on the end. Today, I'm talking about Bundy case. It's going back to court. Calling it the tortoise and the hare hoof and hide the truth. It's a state. It's the mistrial and dismissal and appeal from the Bundy et al. Dismissal with prejudice from Judge Gloria Navarro 2 years ago today. She called a mistrial January 8th. She dismissed it with prejudice. Well, the government's come along with an appeal, and this I read to air for the record last night, the government's reply brief. And so today, that and more, that's right now on RealLibertyMedia.com. And so, what matters, a ponder gander, and I'm your host. And today, well, I really debated on the last part of this whether I'd include it or not, but I really think I did. I included it in the RLM database for quotes. And this is a modest proposal, I say, waving the flag and a message to tyranny. Well, you say you love me, but you never listen. Go uck yourself. Kind of serious words in so many ways, I reckon. But where are we at? Well, we're even worse off than where we started, I reckon, as far as what's going on. I'm going to skip this ahead right here. I want to read this from Roger Roots, and we'll come to it in the blog. But he says, my client is liberty. It's every lawyer's duty to challenge the leviathan of unchecked powers claimed as governmental authority. From Roger Roots. I'm going to go back to that. Let me go make sure I got this correct. I'm going to preview it. I've got the blog, the radio log, mostly built. And I have some few extra buttons to push along the way. So as this is updating here, I'm going to pick that up. Let me say I'm over here in the Real Liberty chat. There's some folks tuned in here and and chatting. And Judge Dredd Hansel himself wants to know if Santa Claus is really Jesus. Well, go ask your grandma, son. I don't want to spoil any surprises for you. Don't want to kick your legs out from under you and just help you get them under you and get you on your way. All right, I think this is working now over here. Sure enough. Well, the radio log here, it's going to be titled Bundy Case Going Back to Court. And I've got some few subtitles in here, and I'm just going to read these as I've got it laid out here. Yes, it is the state. It's mistrial, dismissal, and appeal. Bundy et al., dismissal with prejudice. Government's reply brief. The tortoise and the hare, hoof and hide the truth. Now, I'm going to say what this old cowboy said, and I lost the quote, but I think I found it. I'm going to have to add his name in here somewhere. But he says, you are what you do, not what you'll say you'll do. So, become the media and take back your future. Journalism, that is truth. It needs defense. Be the media. What matters? A ponder gander. This is a radio writing series that I'm doing right here at RealLibertyMedia.com. You can find me in a lot of places. It's the RLM Radio R-Log. Today, I've got this, what I said here, a modest proposal, waving the flag. And we'll get to that message to tyranny. And maybe think about that a little bit more. You say you love me, but you never listen. This picture right here is from a friend of mine. I've met, come to know through Jason Patrick. He's a friend of his. And when I got to know Jason out there in Bunkerville in 2014, he says, you know, you remind me a lot of a good friend of his, he says to me, and that is this man here, Daniel Lewis Crumpton. He and I have done a lot of radio together. I introduced him to Chuck O'Chelly, and there was a lot of projects they've done together. I hold this man in high regard. He wrote a book. It's excellent. It's called Before the Flood. I'll have to find that link and put it in here. I'm going to read you what he wrote. He says, regardless of politics or ideological leanings to left, right, or wherever, the sight of the flag stirs. Wait just a minute. I'm going to do this justice because I've got it so small for the the thing there, the print in the publication. But I'm going to blow it up, and I'm going to start again so I can see it better, to read it better. Might have could have rubbed my glasses, too. All right. Here we go. We'll start it from the beginning. Regardless of politics or ideological leanings to left or right or wherever, the sight of the flag still stirs something up within me. Whenever I see it fluttering in the wind, I don't see a symbol of government. I don't see a symbol of party affiliation. I don't see a symbol of this conspiracy theory or that, regardless of how true some may be or not. For me, when I see this flag, I see a symbol of we the people. We the individuals. We the multitude endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. I see a symbol of the greatest of things in the face of tyranny. I'm going to say that again. I see a symbol of the greatest of things in the face of tyranny. Be it by government, the majority, or any other form of tyranny that it might take, I see a symbol of hope. The hope that all men are entitled to and can obtain freedom. Now, symbols are not constants. They always change. They can be reduced to what they once were, what they meant, be reduced to zero. Symbols are what we make them. Would to God we once again stopped. The next time we saw a flag and pondered in our hearts what freedom means for ourselves and our fellow man, and then proceed to conduct ourselves in a very way respecting of such a hope. From Daniel Lewis Crumpton, he tagged me and Ammon Bundy and several others, December the 9th, 2019. You know, Hal Anthony was from Behind the Woodshed was talking about the postman in his broadcast here a week or so back or two. Talking about that, and I listened. This is about one of the first audio books I reckon I listened to some maybe a couple of decades back. But it's the postman. Y'all know the movie maybe that Kevin Costner was in. It says here, this is the description from good Google or something. I'll have to open it to see. It says, though, fate teaches him one chill winter's day when he bars the jacket of a long-dead postal worker to protect himself from the cold, the old worn uniform still has power as a symbol of hope. And with it begins to weave his greatest tale of a nation on the road to recovery. We're really in a nation of that's been torn down for a long time, and I don't find any hope from party, either side are good. Good Reads is where that comes from there. It'll be in the radio log, clickable there on the Postman by David Brin. And let me go see. Somebody said something to me over here in the network chat. And what it be? Oh, here it is. Hello, Wanataco. You said this picture here is. What picture and where? Okay. Well, it'll be in the blogcaster. Let me see if I can grab it for you. And just right now, actually. And pull it up where you can... I'll post it over there. This is from Jason Patrick. Let me see if I can do that from here. Open image, new tab. Let me copy and paste. Okay, I'll bring that to you. Thanks for asking. Over in Politics 360. And I'll bring it to you, Mr. Taco. And I'll bring it to the Real Liberty Media chat room as well. It's a ray of hope and sunshine, so many ways. I've got a great picture that I took up on top of the hill, there at the flag, way up on top of the hill overlooking the Virgin River, down there, Riverside, Nevada. Alrighty, there's that. Let me come back in where? I'm at. And scroll down. Okay, so I read from Jason Patrick and told you about that movie, the book, The Postman. Let me tell you what we're where we're at today. Well, 2 years ago today, that is. And I say tomorrow in here because I was working on it yesterday, so I'll have to edit that. Well, 2 years years ago today, Judge Gloria Navarro tossed the federal case against the Bundys and a few others. She later dismisses it completely with prejudice, and the state says, no fair. For real. Well, later on, we come to see here after that it does get tossed and dismissed with prejudice, meaning no retrial, from Sherry Duvall and Readout News. It's overcoming tyranny and oppression in America. And there's my first and one and only ever photo credit published as Cliven Bundy with his button on there, not guilty. And I'll listen at the end of the broadcast. You can I'll bring you the link here after I get everything finished up, and you can see and read along here. And if you're at YouTube, first of all, let me ask you to stop, go up there, and I think if you look in the description there, hopefully there'll be a link over to BitChute. And that's where you need to be listening, is BitChute. Because you know what, YouTube, tell them to get bitten. Yeah, take yourself over there. But for sure down there, there's a link back to this radio log. You'll be hearing the postcast. And you can come back over here to the Real Liberty Media site and follow out here to see pictures and links and logs and all that sort of thing. Well, yes, 2 years ago, a little slice of justice got served up in Las Vegas. And this is embedded from Facebook, and that got hashtag wit in Standing in the Gap with Mr. and Mrs. Bundy. It's a picture there from Readout News in the link to the article. I'll tell you what, I'll grab it and bring it to you here in just a second. And it's got Shauna Cox, Hammond Bundy, Jeanette Finnicum, Morgan Philpott, and I include in that the tagging Ryan and Angie Bundy, Ryan and Errol Payne. In the Bundy Ranch et al., that means all you that were there physically or at least in heart even. And I do give this special appreciation for Best in Press, the coverage from the other than the mainstream media, the MSM, I say. And I left out calling it what it really is, CLAP. That's what we call it here at Real Liberty Media, the CLAP, the corporate lame-ass propaganda. So a special thanks and a shout-out to Readout News, Sherry Duvall and Doug Knowles over at It Matters How You Stand. And there, let me grab this link and just, oh, it went to Facebook, of course. And I'll click it again. Just so you'll have this right here. If you'd like to open up, I'm going to read some more and you can peruse this here. This is the, if you'll let me click here. There we go. And copy. Mistrial. This is from December the 20th, 2 years ago. Mistrial declared in Bunkerville standoff trial from Readout News. Here I come. The flag in the picture flash. And here we go. The politics 360. All right. Let me go back now to the radio log. And that I was there with them that day, everybody and a bunch of others that's not mentioned here. And we went out to Henderson to, where was that place? I forget the name of it. Some little bar and grill type thing, you know, where sports bar, whatever. Where you go eat and get loud. Here I come back to this quote I started out with earlier. And that is, my client is liberty. It's every lawyer's duty to challenge the leviathan of unchecked powers claimed as governmental authority. Roger Root says that. And here, that day, 2 years ago today, I take a look back with Roger Root's, the mistrial and dismissal, what are the differences? And I have read here, Judge Gloria Navarro declared a mistrial in this latest round, the third attempt at a conviction failing again in the Nevada Federal Courthouse Wednesday, December 2017. Ryan Bundy is arguably a leading force in this cohesive determination for justice, along with unrivaled efforts from lawyers, legal aides, and the great many hands of diligence lending in behind the scenes. I was proud to be amongst them. Shackled, contempt and cover-up, lies and suppression of evidence, hidden and sealed documents and behind closed doors, secret court proceedings have bound the truth from being presented in these last 2 years. Misconduct by the prosecution, FBI, BLM, and Brady and Giglio violation in discovery obligations may only pale in comparison to the misconduct, civil and criminal acts, and vicious prosecution by the state. Now, last night I read their brief, and it's all I could do to not comment all the way through and bite my tongue, but I couldn't do it. I was in there for the evidentiary hearings and the exculpatory items discussed. The state acted like the defendants were nuts, crazy. Nothing like that happened. They're fishing. And I'm like, I was there in 2014. I know what happened. And they're like saying that this didn't happen. And then they come along in their brief. Oh, well, you know, it wasn't that bad, right? We should just be able to try them again. Mistrial, retrial. They keep coming and coming and coming and coming. Well, January the 8th, we'll hear motions. We heard motions from the defense team to dismiss charges with prejudice. If not resolved at that time, it would have went to court, been set to the 26th of February on the docket, and would have convened in a new case. In the courtroom, we'll see that. I think I've got a typo there. We'll see the defense: Cliven Bundy, Ryan Bundy, Ammon Bundy, Ryan Payne, Bob Whipple, Brenda Wexley, Dan Hill, Roger Roots, Larry Clayman, Masor Fletcher, Morgan Philpott, and Rick Corber. Rick's in prison now for several years now. It took him 10 years, and I think four or five odd tries. They kept coming and coming and coming. He'd beat it, be dismissed, beat appeal, or overturned, or appeals upheld, and what? And they come again and again, and they got him. So I'm going to come to a post here from Angie Bundy, and I want to send some words out to y'all, and it's not safe yet. They're still coming for you. In the meantime, I'm going to pause up here a minute. I want you to listen to Roger, and matter of fact, I sent Roger an inbox. I told him, well, let me tell you what I told him. His good man, glad to know him. Roger, I sent him a heads up that I've got this video of him here. I said, thanks, brother. Keep the fight. Keeping the fight, that's right, in a Bundy Ranch. I'm going to open it from here since I'm there. Let you have it, and I'll be back in 4 minutes. Go.
All right, yeah. There's a little bit of confusion about the difference between a mistrial and dismissal. The judge today, Navarro, found grounds for a mistrial. Mistrial can mean that the indictment still exists, okay? The indictment hasn't gone away, and she did set new trial dates for potentially another trial. So they could potentially retry the same group with the same indictment. Dismissal means end of the indictment, okay? And without prejudice would mean they can go and bring up a new indictment. With prejudice means that it's over. They can't, under double jeopardy grounds, they can't really bring up a new indictment at all. In fact, the when double jeopardy attaches is when the jury is sworn in. The jury was sworn in. So double jeopardy would attach at this point, meaning that if the judge finds on, well, all the lawyers are going to respond by January 28th with briefs about whether or not this case should be dismissed with or without prejudice. Obviously, the defense will argue with prejudice that it's so willful, the violations, the Brady violations were so willful by the prosecution that it was really on the prosecution's fault for the mistrial, which means it will be with prejudice, and that will not just be a mistrial with prejudice, that would be, in my opinion, a dismissal of the case, and that would be with prejudice because the jury was sworn. So in the middle of a jury trial, there were these violations, the jury was sworn in, and the Fifth Amendment double jeopardy clause requires that no person shall be twice put in jeopardy, meaning that the case will be over if the judge declares dismissal with prejudice.
How that will that affect the next round and the previous round trials?
The next group of guys, the so-called Tier 2 group, they're free as far as I'm concerned. They're free on several arguments. Number one, speedy trial argument. They've been demanding speedy trial, for almost 2 years. They could get out. They could get the whole thing dismissed with regard to themselves on speedy trial grounds, in addition to these Brady violations. But in my opinion, the group that's in that next group of men to be tried are free, completely free.
And the previous guys?
These current set of guys are still, remember, Cliven's still in custody still locked up. They still are facing at least potential or conceptual retrial in February. But, we're obviously going to push and we're going to, the lawyers are going to argue that it should be dismissed with prejudice and it should be over completely.
Good. Thanks, Roger. Founder of Lysander University, Roger Roots, and quite a long list. You have a PhD. You're a lawyer and...
Lawyer and a doctor.
And a doctor. And your highest duty is, and I quoted you a little bit and shortened it all,
liberty.
My client is liberty. That's right. And your highest duty is to challenge governmental authority gone bad, the Leviathan.
That should be every lawyer's highest duty.
Yeah. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, did I get both of those pub chats? Yes, I did. Been a lot of fun folks out there. And stand in the gap again in the trial.
Okay, cut. Okay, thank you. Let me come back over here in the Politics 360 chat room. It says, Juan and Taco, there were so many Brady violations, they called them the Brady Bunch. Yeah. That's pretty funny. Yeah, it really is. If it wasn't so sad in so many ways. Now then, let me come back over here. That was... Oh, and I've got the thumbnail there on the video there on YouTube. That's from Stuart Freshwater. He was a court artist in there, sketch, a real one, not like that other feller with the stick figures. That's funny. Yeah, and I got famous doing it though. What's his name? Bundy sketch artist, they call him. But this is the real one. Stuart Freshwater, really a nice man and an incredible artist. You can find him in a search engine. Somebody might do that. I should have done it already, thinking about it. Now, I'm coming down here to a post, whatever it takes. And here's Ryan Payne, and here's some other photos of a bunch of fine people. Ammon Bundy and his wife, Lisa, and family. There's Miss Carol and Cliven. And they're... Also is Ryan and Angie and Bundy and all their little children right there. Nice family. I'm telling you, I meant to start out this broadcast to telling you who I am, but I guess maybe since I've gone this far, I'll just keep going and tell you later. Well, yeah, there's this post from Angie, and I want to read you what she says in it. Because I sent, I was one of the ones sending out some of these messages, and I got it, I tracked it back to one of the people, the anti-Bundys, that I keep in contact with over on Twitter, And then that track back to J.J. McNabb. Donna has experience with this gal. She has a funny name for it. But anyways, from there and then to the documents and that this will be coming to Las Vegas in March, the week of 23rd to 27th. It's when the court's going to be the Court of Appeals will be sitting in Vegas. There, traveling circus, Neil Wampler. I'll have to come back over to Facebook before we get done here, and I'll talk and address some of these questions here from you, sir. Neil Wampler, I got video on him at the Lysander University meeting there that we had behind the courthouse, and a lot of more video in the Bundy Ranch standoff playlist at Real Liberty Media on YouTube. And also some of this stuff is carried over to the BitChute channel. I'm not sure the how many of them are. That's something I'm going to have to look at, because that's where we want to be at, is BitChute. YouTube is just getting, you know, that step by step, slowly they turned into the creepy thing that they've become, full of control and censor, and, you know, no free speech with them. All right, let me tell you what Angie wrote out here. And again, I guess I'll say, yeah, I was wanting to send out a lot of these messages to some of these folks to, and I'd been waiting for some responses and to let some of this come to air. So I didn't like, you know, I'm not like trying to break some story. This is from November the 8th is when the state filed their paperwork. So we'll come to that here in a bit. She says that Ryan and I have been getting many messages about the fact that the government is working on trying to reopen her case. This is to hopefully dispel some rumors and at least let you know what we know. The government filed an appeal to the Ninth Circuit that challenges Judge Navarro's decision to dismiss her case with prejudice. When a case is dismissed with prejudice, it cannot be retried again. The government is hoping to overturn the finality of that decision so that they can take evidence back to a grand jury. Then they'd like to re-indict Clive and Ryan, Ryan Ammon and Ryan Payne. So this hearing that is coming up in March is to argue Judge Navarro's ruling before the Ninth Circuit back in January of 2018. She goes on to say, now if they successfully get it overturned, the men could be re-indicted. She says, I'm not sure how many of you were there in the courtroom. I was there when this case was dismissed. The room was packed and her words and language were strong as to the irresponsibility of the prosecutors and how they mishandled our case. The fact is, the grand jury was lied to. And as many of the facts that got the men indicted to begin with, the lies were exposed in the first few weeks of evidentiary hearings, jury selection, and trial. Facts about our men and their nonviolent nature were withheld from the evidence they turned over. Facts about cameras being trained on the ranch home, along with facts about there being snipers and surveillance on the family and homes, were not only withheld, but openly mocked. Yes, openly mocked. Scott, you ought to have seen that man, Myrie. What a dirty, dirty person. Openly mocked when they were inquired about by my husband, she says. When Ryan Payne called for prosecution from militia. Oh, I'm sorry. Try that again. When Ryan Payne called for protection from militia. It was because snipers were trained on the protesters and family. They were. They were denied it. But it was factually true. They denied it, but it was factually true. All of that came out of the court proceedings along with a ton of secrets. She was barring the door left and right up in there. Secret hearings, sealed indictments, all this. That they don't want the people to know. Why? Why? Why don't they? Ask yourself, why do they, why should not all, every bit of information be examined fully and not be in respect to some legalese of the Bar Association? He's been very lucky, blessed, and perhaps the hand of providence had a great deal to do with delivering them out of bondage, I say. Let me go back here. I'm going to reread that part. When Ryan Payne called for protection from militia, it was because snipers were trained on the protesters and family. They denied it, but it was factually true. All that came out in the court proceedings, along with a ton of secrets, that we would all get killed. We could all get kicked out of the courtroom. Yeah, Navarro threatened left and right. Boy, don't you dare. Not even a look. I mean, don't just not say nothing. Don't get some look that she's going to determine, you're out. Boom, boom, boom. To reopen our case is a long shot, Angie says, but our judicial system is corrupt. However, Judge Navarro is a Harry Reid appointee. She is in no way our friend, but her tongue lashing to the prosecutors was strong. And she says that she has serious doubts her decision could be overturned. So am I worried? No. However, we still have Greg, Todd, and Jerry are still incarcerated over the lies that were told to the jury and the grand jury. Could another trial help them? If it could, then it'd be worth it. The truths that already came out in our hearing should logically set them free already. That's how they weren't. But it hasn't. So we watch and wait. God is still bigger, and He has helped us through all of this. My faith and trust in Him. Angie Huntington Bundy, 15 December. Now, I've been wondering, and I still got more to figure out about how all this works, but I'm going to be out there in Las Vegas in that the last week of March for to sit in there. Now, I wasn't sure, and I've got this here to say, and this is to the max. I asked Maxine Bernstein if she might tell me what to look for and what to expect in the appeal of the Bundy et al. Dismissal next March. How long until the 9th gives its decision, and what happens if Navarro's ruling is overturned? And this during Christmas, the holiday season. Thank you, Maxine. I appreciate. I'm going to tell you what I wrote here to her. I say, thank you, Maxine. Let me tell you again how much I appreciate your work and for all the information you provide, most especially for taking time to respond personally to my questions. Respectfully, Vincent. This is what she told me. She said there will be a date set for oral arguments sometime in March 2020 on that appeal, on that appeal before the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's and then it's anyone's guess when the court would issue a ruling. Could take months. If Navarro's ruling is overturned, the government would be able to bring a new case. Excuse me. I want to say a few words about Maxine. From the Oregonian, her evolution of writing from the early days into when I actually got to meet her and see her, who she was, but I was following her before then because she was putting all that pertinent information of the proceedings that take place inside the courtroom. I was talking to Lonnie Clark. I said, she's a liberal. I said, I really like Maxine Bernstein. I said, but she's a liberal. But, I'm not left or right. I see the both sides of it. And I take a lot of value from people in all aspects of this social parameters. Maxine, I gave, after the dismissal, we're coming down in the elevator. I had a bunch of other mainstream media personalities up in there. And I says, I give to you, Maxine, the best in main for coverage in mainstream media. And it still holds true today. You know, this woman, she might, I don't know all kinds of inquiry, but she and I have been able to have discourse, without discord, these last couple of years. And I and others there, we came and we took on this mantle of being the media. And we came to hold mainstream media's feet to the fire. And as I had these these people, Ken Ritter and Dave Montero, and for the Times and the AP, and all these big time writers. And I told Maxine, I says, you get top award for best in mainstream media, best coverage of the facts going on in there. She can't. She, as her writing progressed, there was less and less reflection of her her values that she would stand in. You know, it's standing towards the left and the all these things. But there's more to it than this divide that people want to put. There's also where we have a commonality, and I'm really glad that Maxine is chosen to stand above that. That cry, a demand from me and so many others of the mainstream, tell the truth because it gets so slanted. And the Bundy Ranch trial has really changed how history is presented because so many people came. There was so many, the courtroom too. There was too many people. I was a witness in that trial, number 303. Too many people seen what was going on. Too many showed up in 2014. To that the government did not take that step, and they would have. If Ryan Payne, and he wasn't wrong, if he hadn't called out that for the people to come and stand in the gap as a buffer in between an armed agency, an army of governmental thugs coming to kill that family, don't think it wouldn't happen. It's happened plenty of times. Maxine, again, she bears up to having had her feet held to the fire, I think, in so many ways. And thank you very much for being able to have correspondence with me. There's other people, too. Ryan Lentz, Cherry Roberts, Cherry Wilson now, countering the rhetoric. She stepped down from doing, she's minor media, like, you know, I would claim for myself, but we're able to talk, and I think that's very important. And who they call a troll, Sky Reeve, the sheriff, I get a lot of information from him, the proceedings of everything and everybody of what's going on, and so I'll have to give appreciation to him as well. Now, a lot of people get scared about engaging with people other than themselves, and can't tell you how wrong that is to be that way. Now, last night, and you'll be able to listen to it here, you'll find a link where you can go back to the Ponder Gander podcast player in here. I've read the 44 pages. This comes from seditionist.com. It's the Bundy Appeal 105.pdf. It is the Bundy et al. Dismissal with Prejudice Government's reply brief. It is on appeal from the United States District Court for the District of Nevada in the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. A lot to how jurisdiction and all that stuff and who the judges are. There's a lot of information here, and it might be a where I'll probably want to maybe go into next week where I got more information on these, how these judges, but I've got a little bit. I got a little bit of how this works. I'm still trying to figure it all out. And I'm going to come back over and talk to Neil Wampler back on the Facebook and some issues he has brought to bear. So I've got it here. Where you can listen to that is on the Real Liberty Media. You go up into the podcast. Yep. Yeah, to the podcast portion. You can click and find a Ponder Gander there. The player, it's a podcast player. It's a record player. But not really. It's digital. But you can find that title. If this is way down the line, this right today is 12/20/2019. If you're listening along, that will get fueled up. So just go down. You can scroll down to find Bundy Ranch et al. United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is a title from 2019/11-22. That's December 20. I've got the wrong date. Should be 19th. I'll go fix that. Wrong date. There's the image here in the radio log. Also a link. And it is for the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit 2020 Court Sessions. So, Neil, it travels around. It does. He called it. He says, "Now I see why it's called a traveling circus." This circuit's a circus, from town to town, seeking whom it may devour. In January, it's in Pasadena and San Francisco, and in February, Seattle, Pasadena, Phoenix, Honolulu, San Francisco. In March, we come to Portland, Seattle, Pasadena, Phoenix, San Francisco, and for the week of March 23rd to the 27th, we have Las Vegas, Nevada, and reckoning that's when all that's going to happen. As I said, I've got a lot more to figure out on how that works. I can tell you that the U.S. courts, there's a www.ca9.uscourts.gov/media. You can find audio and video of proceedings. They do it live and they stream it, and it goes to YouTube, and that YouTube channel is .com user / ninth. That's nine, the number, THCIRC. Now here's some extra that you can take if you'll come back over here to the radio log, the blog page here in the postcast. You'll find more at this, the tortoise and the hare, hoof and hide the truth. I see that the measure of a man's power is the depth of his mercy. The emperor said that in a book from Christopher Moore. It's a book in his first one in the series. It's Bloodsucking Fiends, and that one is a love story. But we come to find here is more that you can come listen to. And in a video here that I filmed there. It's The Great Debate in Extreme Environmentalism. It's a video with Kieron Suckling, the Center for Biological Diversity. Go see my engagement with that man right there. And it's also on YouTube. No, wait a minute. You know what? I got the video on Facebook. And if you don't have Facebook, still click that. I got it backdoored in there where you can still watch Facebook if you don't have an account. And the other one is... I got his address right there, and then there's another one that Tom Lockavar Stewart and I had a guest spot in there on his broadcast, and so it is still, I think it's it, called RTR and RBN, Resurrect the Republican Republican Broadcasting Network, and RLM Radio present the Tortoise Two-Step. That's right, it's a stalking horse hustle. The Turtleman Troubadours perform the same old song and dance routine of No Moo in 92 and Cattle Free in 93. That's a suckling pig dog and pony show false front production. Well, I say if you can't do great things, do small things in a great way. Standing in the gap, I'm right here. I'm continuing as witness, me, Vincent Easley, reporting. That was adapted, by the way. Now, I've got some news for you. You may not know. I was listening to Loving Liberty yesterday, the Liberty Effect with Ammon Bundy. And I've got a source here that backs up what he said. You know what he said? He said, with Trump being getting the... my mind just blanked on me. What they just did to him, what they do? Impeached him. Yes, not in Georgia kind of impeached did he either. But no, Donald Trump, okay, Donald Trump is impeached. Now, that doesn't mean he's convicted in the Senate, but I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that he can no longer give pardons. And what I'd like to say about that is just war in the West. There is two great factions warring one against another. So, like the Hammonds were... victims of that. They found pardon in Trump. Ammon tells you how many pardons he's given. You know, not very many. 20-something or 30-something, I think. But he can't do no more. So, Roger Stone, you're Scrooged like a duck. And a lot more people. Now, we get to Matt Shea up there in the Pacific Northwest, over in Spokane, Washington, where I spent... a few short months in the summer up there in 2017 in Spokane. It's a wonderful place up there. I didn't know who Matt Shea was at that point, but he had already been involved down in Nevada in 2014. A lot of people I didn't know. You know, I just came as a person as to be. I was doing internet radio, and I took it to come be a witness and report to it, and that I did. So here's federal pardons in the United States. It's a Wikipedia. It says federal pardon in the United States is the action of the President of the United States that completely sets aside the punishment for a federal crime. The authority to take such action is granted to the President by Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the United States, the U.S. Constitution. Under the Constitution, the President's clemency powers extends to federal criminal defenses. All requests for executive clemency for federal offenses are, directed to the office, of the pardon attorney in the U.S. Department of Justice for investigation and review. And the beneficiary of a pardon needs to accept the pardon. The Supreme Court stated in Burdick versus United States that pardon carries an imputation of guilt, imputation of guilt, and acceptable and acceptance of a pardon is a confession to such guilt. Here it is: the President's pardon power is limited to the federal offenses because of the Constitution, and only grants the power the President the power to pardon offenses against the United States. An offense that solely violates state law is not an offense against the United States. And experts disagree as to whether presidents can pardon themselves. And there are several. There is disagreement about how the pardon power applies in cases of impeachment. So maybe I was wrong in stating it. Maybe Ammon was, but maybe not. Be very interested. This is something further to find out about. And it finishes up here. It says the pardon can also be used for a presumptive case, such as when President Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon over any possible crimes regarding the Watergate scandal. That's in the blog. You'll find it in the postcast, the radio log. Now then, let me take a moment, come over here to chat. Juana Taco says, let's see, he says, thanks, Roger. Yes, thank you, Roger. Roger Roots. He asked if reversible by lawyers without prejudice is meaningless. It should be final. And here is some more folks here. And Judge Dredd posting on Harvard Trump not impeached until articles transferred to Senate. So is he not impeached? Does the impeachment become official when they receive the papers? But they're not going to convict them, so I mean, it's all been a waste of time. But if the purpose of impeachment was to prevent his no more than to prevent him from having his pardoning power, then I would say that was a mighty striking blow against that faction from the one. You know, you can put all kinds of names, whatever you want to put on there. People scoff at when you say deep state, but these people are, there's people in the state that are very deep, very, very deep. Back over here in the Real Liberty Media. Hello, folks. I see Flash and Body, Salt Lake City, Mike, and Sock Puppet. I am Lone Frog, anti, that's A-N-T-E-I-E. It's not like anti against it. Gooberzilla, Judge Dredd. I'm just scrolling up and see who's chatting here. Grimner's in here and Donna's in here. So anyways, this is a place to come get your tail kicked if you're a mind to it. I'm going to close out the broadcast and talk a little bit maybe about the great and the greatness of governance. No, I'm not really. Might say something though. Okay, let me go back and find myself on Facebook. Let me start on the Twitter. There's more about Matt Shea, and so I'm about to pass that. That's more to discuss later. And here's a link that I'm not getting to. It's domestic terrorism in 2016 analysis, and Who'd I get that from? Somebody on Twitter. I forget. I'm gonna close it. I'm just gonna excuse me. Start closing some tabs out. I've got a over there in the Facebook memories today. There's a lot of stuff going on. Skip. Not gonna close out my edit there. I'm working on the podcast replay page. Let me just skim on down till I get to where. Well, that's a lot of. A lot of tabs open. I believe I did share this with you. Yeah, the mistrial from declared Bunkerville from Readout News. There's the image of the flag from Daniel Lewis Crumpton. It'll be in the blogcast. And the Postman link there to Goodreads. And we'll close that Facebook. And we'll close this, which is also included in the blog there, the Bundy Ranch Cattle Battle, the realities of, in parentheses, extreme environmentalism, for your search if you're just listening somewhere else. But come back on over to Real Liberty Media. You can find me, realliberty.com/author/vine. That's for Vinny, me. A lot of ways to say Vin E, Vincent Easley. I'm closing YouTube. Here's, I guess I can stop right here and get to where I need to be. I'll do a refresh. Somebody sent me a friend request. Let me see who that is. Okay. Another liberty-minded person, and I'll confirm that. And let me go ahead and get your notifications turned on. Mavis. So, yeah, I'd like to turn on notifications for everybody. I wish I'd turned them on from the very beginning. I probably would have blown Facebook up. And it only works when I'm on here because there's like a 1,000 within a few hours. And I don't know. It's convenient because it pops up when I'm here and I see what people's posting. Because I can't go to the main feed, the home feed page, and rely on what Facebook's going to feed you there. I'm going to have to take a minute here and scroll. Get down here where our discussion is at with Neil. Here's a post from where I say the measure of a man, of a man's power is the depth of his mercy. And thank you, folks. I mentioned y'all. And there's Mahfoud Sadani, and he's over like in Morocco, over that part of the world. And he tells me that he must know who Christopher Moore was, because that's who I quoted. He said he was born January 1st, 1957 in Toledo, Ohio, is an American crime fiction novel writer. He's a really good writer, Christopher Moore is. You know what? He took the time to respond to me 2, 3, 4 times there over on Twitter. I thought that was kind of neat, too. He's a pretty famous author. Yeah, great book. So, some of the quotes, I added a couple of his quotes to the RLM quote database. And then, in turn, I posted those out to the Twitter feed. There's the post from that I post for Roger. And here's a memory I shared from a year ago. It's still not over. It matters how you stand. Free Todd Engel. Yeah, he was there for, 45 minutes, and then he posted something on Facebook, and he's in prison now. Feliz cumpleaños a mi hermana. Grandes deseos, Julieta. Happy birthday. Yesterday es Julieta's birthday. Muchas gracias, esa es mi hermano. Corazón, mi hermanita. And here's my post 2 years ago. Today, a little slice of justice. That's in the radio log in the blogcaster. And Andrea, what a wonderful gal this is. She got magic. Now I talk about Maxine Bernstein. I sat next to her in court and just looking around at. You wouldn't even think she was paying attention to. I mean, how did she pull all the information and be able to recall it? Because she only wrote a little bit. And as she was taking her notes. I was sitting next to her one day. But, boy right here, should I say girl right here, Andrea Ellison Parker, she was amazing, set up in there in them first rounds of the trials and taking notes and giving reports like no other. The very best reporter that I've ever seen, Andrea Ellison Parker, Eric's wonderful wife, and Shauna Cox. Well, she says she misses Lisa, Andrea does, and Shauna Cox says, oh, me too. Another great gal right there, Shauna, that I got to know very well. Met her in 2014. I didn't know who she was until I go, you know what, I got video of her, of an interview with her. Yeah. And here's what I've called today's broadcast. It's a modest proposal, waving the flag. Shout out to Daniel Lewis Crumpton, that's right. And a message to Tierney. I extended it and I turned it down. I put a sock on it. Basically it is, you say you love me, but you just don't listen. To that I'd say go up yourself. Let me go down, skipping a couple here. Getting up to find the comments with Neil Wampler. Thanks, Dorsey and Dora Macias Fernandez. Also, I've used a lot of her work. She's down in South America. Thank you for noticing over here. David Trexler, shout out to you, my friend. Now, for some reason, Facebook decides that they ought to help me, because Lord knows what I might see. They say most relevant is what they've got my comments selected for. And every time I've got to go along and click all comments. Oh, they're just trying to make life easier for me, I reckon. I don't know. Do you think? Don't want me to see bad things, terrible things. All right. This is my friend Neil Wampler, who I had the privilege of getting to know him in Las Vegas. And we slept under the same roof more than a time or two as well. And a very big shout out to, unfortunately, they've split up, but you know how you are. Bless y'all's heart. Neil says, let's not give Navarro undue credit. Her scathing exhortation of Myrie came after she had worked hand in glove, sure did, with them, to hang the Bundys. She only changed her tune when her reputation was threatened. She wouldn't forget the Wooten, we shouldn't forget the Wooten whistleblower memo emerging during the trial as a damning condemnation of BLM. Facing a disaster for the government interest and also a personal threat. Navarro threw Myrie to the wolves and ran. She did. Somebody said something to me over here, I do believe. Where? Boom, 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 boom. I'll find it later, I reckon. All right, where was I? I'm back over here. Oh, that might have been some other kind of notice. So, listen here. I did read this all-to-air radio reading last night. Again, find it in the Ponder Gatter podcast player on Real Liberty Media. It's on the record, and I read their brief. It's about an hour and a half. So, you can either pick up the link here and read it for yourself if you'd like to listen, or me stumble through in places as I read it. Come on along. Neil says to me, I'd assumed that it'd be at the Ninth Circuit, but once again, because I said I'm going to be in Vegas for this, once again, will the public be admitted? I've got to think they will be. And I just wonder, I don't see a big in run to people getting there. But in the meantime, interim between now and then, I will hope that we will come together and come stand in the gap there again and make a very, I hope hundreds come, and we make a very big presence again there at the federal courthouse in Las Vegas. That's 333 Fremont Street, or is it 666? I think it's probably the devil's number somewhere. Las Vegas, Nevada. There is a courthouse at 666 somewhere. There's a lot of courthouses around in there. One of them had like false wall windows and doors and stuff. I found that very strange. And I don't know. Let's see. This is funny. He says, he says he didn't know. It traveled like a roadshow. Now I know why he calls it the Ninth Circus. Very clever. That was in response to the Ninth moves from city to city on the calendar. It's like a roadshow. Yeah. Okay, let me come down. Stupid more Facebook. There's a lot of comments here. I've got to change from most relevant to all comments. We're going to go normal. I normally run about an hour, but I'd be running over here some. It's just a little the same. But Neil says, you know as well as I do, Vince, that this appeal is nothing but Myrie trying to save his bacon. And I hope the Ninth Circuit judges tell him exactly that when they reject his brief. I don't know that Myrie's involved in this. It goes over to Elizabeth O. White, who stepped in replacing him as the AUSA, the appointed United States Attorney. I have more to talk about that. And that's going to require another broadcast next week on this, where I can look closer at how these lawyers and the... So we got a lot of them. I got a lot of links, and I'm not even going to bring this. This will be next week. Trump's appointees to circuit court, the district courts. Some of the... I couldn't find either. I had two people I think I had nailed down as being those. It's in the blog post cast here. Van Dyke and Hunsacker, I believe her name is, being appointed. I think they would be like favorable judges for the Bundys. But I've got a longer list of names, and I'm going to do that next week. Let me continue with what Neil here. Is that all? Oh, here's the other little flies. Let me see. Man, I don't know. Facebook is getting like Twitter. It has these little like spastic jogs. Right when you're fixing a click, it jogs on you, and boom, you hit something else. I'd like to know what's up with that. Really would. Okay, so Neil says, see, and this might probably be out of order here because Facebook. From what I've heard, the appeal will be in the city. And he's thinking about San Francisco, I think. And I don't know if the public will be admitted. And I tell him I'm not sure how it all works exactly. And so I'm seeking to find out more. And if anybody finds anything, contact me. How this works, excuse me, I would like to know more. So if you have more information, please, yes, enlighten me. So I told him I'd have more information today, and that's what I'm doing. He says he doesn't mind visiting San Francisco. He was born and raised there, but accommodations might be a problem. In his last visit, he said his son and he had camped up in Marion County and took the Larkspur Ferry across the city. Cool ride. Yeah, sounds pretty cool for sure. So, Neil, I say this will be in Vegas, Las Vegas, Nevada, March 23rd to 27th. That week they'll have the calendar of the Nevada District in the Ninth Circuit there, and the Court of Appeals comes and sits in there. And I might only assume, and I'm thinking I'm pretty sure I'm right, that it will be in the federal courthouse. So Neil says he's lost track what's happening in Vegas. Well, that's right there. And I've got a link for the seditionist.com for a separate little organization that puts up briefs and stuff like that. So even though they're snarky, thank you for that. And here is the calendar on the cdn.ca9uscourts.gov, the calendar. You can find that. And that's going to bring me to round this out here. bring me back in next week. We'll pick up with the lawyers. Yes. Okay, let me see here. I'm looking. I think I've got her all. I've covered it. I intend to have covered today. Hey, there's Brian Hyde posting. Another great man. Healing Field Colossal Flag Foundation is his post. And I'm going to go over here and stop this recording as I close out. SurrealLibertyMedia.com. I'm Vincent Easley. I was on the witness list for the Bundys in 2017-18 at number 303. I was at the Bundy Ranch in 2014 for the day before, the day of, and many days into weeks later through the next couple of months at the out there in the Virgin River Valley, what they call the Bundy Ranch Standoff. I went to Las Vegas in 2017-2018 to report on that case and some other stuff I did as far as going to Utah and to Lompoc and to Denver for Bruce Doucette's trial and many other things. And the people that I met I feel like I'm a peanut in a row of Snickers. These are great, mighty folks that come, most of them just normal old folks, coming and step up. This is Freakers Friday. Come at 10 p.m. Central tonight, the Freakers Ball, or Balls to the Walls. But anyways, it's free. And it's spelled the same way, Freakers, free, F-R-E-E, the free. And tomorrow, I think there might be a dork table, and Sunday's a big day here. We've got, to warm up here, we've got some fast-fingered fun, if you're into trivia, I'm going to go to Eastern Times, from noon to 3 o'clock, we've got some blues playing with Grimner. He's our curator right here at Real Liberty Media. And we're playing some trivia. So, yeah, come on along. You got no lag time in your computer and fast fingers. You can get in and win some fun. Be a winner. And Hal Anthony comes. It's if you're out there on the left coast in the Pacific side of the country at noon there or 3 o'clock Eastern, we've got Hal Anthony coming from behind the woodshed. Big influence in my life. And I think the most underappreciated man there is among the wisest of wise. Yeah, Hal Anthony, great appreciation to this man right here. Monday we come back for Grim Leftovers at 7 p.m. Eastern. Grimner's coming back with some yum-yum fun and talk about some of the leftover news. Tuesday's in a perfect world. No longer contrasting the occupation with me. Yes, Flash, somebody broke up with me again. So, for that. Anyways. I was going to come kick this around some and that and something else, but I think I won't. I think I'll leave dog lying on the side of the road. And that's about as snarky as I think I'll get about that. Wednesday, we have Miss Lonnie Clark for the Age of Fission. She's a friend of mine. She's a liberal. But you know what she's covering? It crosses any political bounds. It's the Age of Fission. It's the terribleness of what the nuclear industry is doing to not only this world but specifically to you and me. So I mean, if you don't like yourself, maybe you like the world and want to hear what's going to happen and is happening to it. Lonnie Clark right here at noon Eastern on Wednesdays. Come listen in. I'm brought her here. It's a producer for her. I'm here in the background helping any way I can. And Grimner stepped up and done mighty deeds like he has always been doing. That's why we call him the Big Papa. I call him the Big Papa. I don't know. I tried to get him extra Nomer in there and call him Big Papa Sweet Cheeks, but it didn't catch on. He's so lovable. Back to Thursdays is Poopster and Prince. 11 p.m. Eastern, the Power Hour. Cryptocurrency and other things that sometimes I not have any interest in. Then we've got Friday right back here. I'll see y'all next week, noon o'clock. It's noon Central It's a time and a location with me, Vinny, Vincent Easley, your host, the Ponder Gander at What Matters Worldwide. Thanks, folks. Let me put a finger in this thing here and stop it. See you next week.